Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
On a day like this in the past, it might not have been unusual to hear church bells slowly ringing, tolling, not pealing, but tolling one at a time rather slowly. And depending on the size of the church, it might have gone on for some time. It's All Saints Day, the day that the church historically has remembered, as we say, those who have gone before us in the faith, those who have fallen asleep in Christ and now rest in wait of the resurrection of all flesh. The church triumphant, we would say, as opposed to us here still on earth, the church militant. And the church remembers these sometimes, and some churches still do this by name, one by one, on a day like this, or a Sunday near All Saints Day. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this All Saints Day, November the 1st, Tuesday. Joining us to talk about All Saints Day and about a hymn that is long associated with this day and its celebration, For All the Saints, Dr. Arthur Just, professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Nice to be with you. It's a great day to be with you, too. I think this is one of my high feasts, and I think you know perhaps that Richard Resch and I, who are co-directors of the Good Shepherd Institute of Pastoral Theology and Sacred Music, for now 11 years, this is our 11th year, we have always had a conference around All Saints, because I don't think we feel there's, besides obviously Christmas and Easter, a greater feast day in all the church year.
What are the scriptural roots of this hymn that we're going to study today, For All the Saints?
Well, you know, it's in some ways it's difficult to find one in particular, but the one that certainly seems to stand out, the one that is referenced the most, is the one from Hebrews chapter 12, where the author there talks about being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses and laying aside every sin and every weight which clings, and running the race of endurance, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, etc. I think that's the primary verse. That's the verse that sort of underlines the hymn. But certainly sprinkled throughout this hymn are references to the book of Revelation. I think you have to begin with Revelation 2:10, where it talks about, you know, very clearly, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Another one would be Revelation 14, verse 10. These are the ones who are coming out of the great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I think that's a very important one. And then chapter 17, I think it's verse 10 there as well. Excuse me, no, verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. But, you know, the whole flavor, I was looking this up beforehand, and the two traditional epistles for this day are from Revelation 7 and Revelation 21, and those certainly are very much a part of this. I don't think you can get away from that. So, the book of Revelation, in many ways, I think you can say.
What can you tell us briefly about the author and composer of For All the Saints?
Well, you know, I have to confess, this is maybe up, it's in my top five, might be my favorite hymn of all. And it's an English bishop who wrote the text, William Walsham Howe. Not sure he's known really for many other hymns besides this one. He was a faithful English bishop. He started as a solicitor, but became a bishop, and it is almost kind of inspired, this text. He worked with deaconesses too, which is sort of an interesting thing for me, having developed the deaconess program. But really, in many ways, they don't tell you much about him because there's not that much to know. He was just a good, faithful bishop. The tune, though, that has been associated with this for most of its time is described by many people as perhaps the greatest tune written in the 20th century. And it's by somebody we all know, I think, very well, Ralph, or Rafe, as they sometimes say, Vaughan Williams. And what's interesting, Todd, is the name of it. And this is a name that I know a group of brethren down in the Louisiana, you know, districts of our synod named a conference after it, Sine Nomine, which means without a name. And I think it's sort of a brilliant name for this tune, because it recognizes what kind of Revelation talks about, especially Revelation 7, that they are countless in number, and only God knows their names. There are so many. And so, as they come as a multitude, they come without a name, because really the name that is on them is the name of Christ. I think most people know this tune. Most people know this hymn. But the wedding of text and tune is perhaps the most beautiful, perfect wedding of any hymn that I know of. I'm not an expert on that, but boy, it seems to me that it's almost impossible to imagine this text and this tune being separated.
Stanza one of For All the Saints. For all the saints who from their labors rest, all who by faith before the world confessed, your name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia. Dr. Just, what does it mean that these saints rest from their labors?
Well, this is one of the beauties of this hymn, is that it is called For All the Saints. And what that means is it's for the saints who have died and now live in Christ, and those who are still alive in Christ. And this first verse and the second one are for those saints who have died in Christ, whose pilgrimage is over, and who now have reached what the book of Hebrews, and this actually might be a verse that you could reference here, have reached their Sabbath rest. This sense of, you know, when the time of our journey is over, what we do is, in the Greek word in Hebrews is sabbatismo, we reach that final goal of Sabbath, you know, reclining in the bosom of Abraham with Christ. So these are the ones who have died in Christ. These are the ones who have confessed their faith. And I think in many ways, in the entire hymn, the most important, you know, phrase is the second line of this first verse, all who by faith before the world confessed. I mean, this is what chapter 11 of Hebrews is about. You know, all those by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. That's a kind of the key prelude to, now that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, this great cloud of witnesses is a cloud of witnesses because it is by faith that they confessed that Christ was their Savior. And, you know, in their rest, they are now praising God, you know, they're praising the name of Jesus. And I think in many ways, there you get the kind of the name of the hymn, or the what it's called, the Sine Nomine, that this is the name by which we are now defined. We are defined as his saints. That to be one of his saints is to simply have our name, his name, placed upon us in baptism, you know, so that it might be placed on us for eternity. You know, you can't help but think of Jesus' words to the 70. You know, blessed are you whose names are written in the book of heaven. And their names are written in the book of heaven, you know, Todd, Arthur, precisely because the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was placed upon us. And that's the name that saints who are resting are now singing the praises of in heaven.
Stanza 2 of this great All Saints' Day hymn, you were their rock, their fortress, and their might. You, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. You, in the darkness drear, their one true light. Alleluia, alleluia. It's Tuesday, November the 1st, All Saints Day. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, and we're studying this great All Saints Day hymn for all the saints. When we come back, we'll talk about that second stanza of this hymn. Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. You can find links to both of these resources at our website, issuesetc.org, or give Concordia Publishing House a call and order them, 1-800-325-3040.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over 2 centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back on this All Saints Day. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the hymn For All the Saints. Dr. Just, before the break, we heard that second stanza, Christ Rock, Fortress, Captain in the well-fought fight. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, this is the reason I think we love this hymn, because the imagery and the poetry is so beautiful. Now, I want to go back and say this, that this is another verse, these first two that have to do with those saints who have died, you know, and who from their labors rest. And here we're sort of, in a sense, reflecting upon them in the sense that, and you, of course, is a reference to Christ. And these are images that we know well, the rock, the fortress. You know, I think, I don't know this for sure, but I would bet that the author of this hymn put that in specifically because, you know, All Saints is right after the Reformation, and A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is the great Reformation hymn. I think he is, in a sense, you know, doffing his hat here to the Reformation, you know, the fortress that Christ is, and Psalm 46 and all that that is implied there with the holy city of Jerusalem, which is sort of one of the underlying themes of the Revelation texts. But you've just got to love that, you know, you, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. I mean, the fortress, the might, the rock, you get the sense of the battle. And you know, or the race, at least, that run before. And that's that Hebrews 12 passage coming through. You know, one of the changes that the author wanted to make, and nobody really picked it up, at least on this particular one, was he wanted to change it from "you in the darkness drear" to "you in the darkness still, their one true light." And I think one of the reasons he wanted to do that is because he wanted to make sort of a shift there to the saints who are now laboring, you know, before they receive their promised rest. And, you know, that is a wonderful image there. You know, the darkness light images, that's obviously a huge Johannine image. But, you know, the sense that we do dwell in darkness and the light that we have, and it is drear. I mean, it's not a bad expression, but the one light we have is the light of Christ. And that is because we can't fight without him. He is our captain. I mean, he is the one who goes before us. We fight in him. Now, if you know anything, and I think this bishop probably did, about the early Christian baptisms, when you were baptized and you had that robe put over you, I mean, that robe was certainly the robe of righteousness, but it was also the battle armor. And the early baptismal rites talked about how you were equipped in baptism to fight the good fight. You know, that's when the name is put upon you. When you have that name upon you, you can go out into the world and fight the fight in Christ. And this, I mean, this is, it's not a militant verse, although in a way it is. What it really is a verse of such incredible comfort that, yes, we live in the darkness. Yes, there is a fight there. Yes, Satan is after us. Yes, it sometimes looks very dark, but we have a captain, and he has fought before us in this, I love that, well-fought fight, because his well-fought fight ended in a cross where he redeemed the entire cosmos of its sins. And he is our fortress. He is our rock. He is our might. This gives the saints hope now, who are now going to be the address of the next three verses.
Stanza 3. Oh, may your soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Alleluia, alleluia. Dr. Just, he ends that stanza by talking about winning with them, that we who struggle now win with them who are at rest, the same victor's crown of gold. Your thoughts?
Well, there it's the surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And this is sort of the kind of the deep brilliance of this hymn. I mean, on the surface, you can't help but love it because of the poetry, but there is this sort of greater, deeper reality that it acknowledges. And if you listen closely, it comes through, and you just nailed it. You know, we do not run this, you know, this fight alone. We run it in Christ. But if we are in Christ, we are also, you know, with the saints, and they are our companions in the well-fought fight. And this is, I think, you know, part of the nature of the Christian faith, that recognizes that we are not alone when we gather together around the presence of Christ, and we are not alone, you know, when we pray, that you know, the whole company of heaven is praying for the salvation of the world, praying for us in Christ. And you know, we aren't kind of, I mean, that American image, the individual, the lone ranger, you know, the Marlboro man, all alone, fighting off the elements on his horse and his cigarette, boy, that is just so totally contrary to not only to the biblical story and the biblical sense of what it means to be part of the church, but certainly against this very, very hymn itself, that we win with them the victor's crown of gold, because we are all in Christ. You know, this is where that Revelation, you know, passage comes through. You know, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, with them we are faithful. You know, in them we are faithful. We are all faithful unto death, and therefore we all receive the crown of life. And it shows you, in a sense, that Christians really actually know the future better than they know the present. You know, because we know the end game. We know what happens. We know that when we die, we are in Christ. We know that no matter what happens now in the present, which we really can't know, that our future is in Christ. So we are with them. And it is that victor's crown of gold that we already have as we gather as his body, the church, as we receive body and blood, as we hear the living voice of Jesus. This verse is about us. We are the soldiers, faithful, true, and bold. We are the ones who are fighting as the saints fought nobly of old. You know, we're all one communion of saints. And this verse is what brings us all together.
Stanza 4, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one within your great design. Alleluia, alleluia. Well, there's no doubt about it here, Dr. Just. We're talking about one church, not two churches.
Exactly. The church militant and the church triumphant are united together in Christ. And see, I think that's anticipated in verse 3. And here now, he describes it in its fullness. And just the language, blessed communion, fellowship divine, feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one. I mean, this is the great design of Christ, that once we are joined to him in holy baptism, we are part of this larger communion of saints, past, present, and future. I mean, this is the community in which we enter, and this is why it's so important, you know, for the church to recognize this day, to recognize that we're not alone, that we are part of a communion of saints, as we confess in the creed, that is without number and it's so huge that we can't even name them all. Sine nomine, you know. This is in many ways my favorite verse, because what it does is it unites those who have died in Christ and those who are now living and struggling, you know, on their way to receive their promised reward, their promised rest, and it is a verse that gives us great hope, because we are not alone.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 1st, All Saints Day. We're studying the hymn For All the Saints, and when we come back, we'll look at the fifth stanza of this great hymn. And when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong, Alleluia, Alleluia. Well, it's taken us from those who are at rest, reminded us of our communion and our union with them. They celebrate the triumph, but there is a triumph yet to come, which all of us together, whether we are at rest or still labor here, anticipate. It is the triumph of Christ's return and our resurrection. You see, for the saints who have gone before us, they're waiting for the same thing we are, for Christ's final victory to be declared in the universe and the final verdict declared over us of innocent and forgiven. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to Issues, etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give, as opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion was left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support, and you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues, etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues, etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues, etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
Lutheran, it's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
School-provided abortions.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Someone under the age of 17 in New York cannot legally get a tattoo or a body piercing without parental consent. However, girls in some New York City high schools can be given abortifacients without their parents' explicit permission. City officials recently revealed they have already given hundreds of girls the so-called morning after pill as part of a pilot program in 17 of the city's high schools. These pills are touted as birth control, but in some cases they end pregnancies after conception has already occurred. They are also known to produce serious side effects in some patients.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Our hearts are brave.
Stanza 5 of the hymn for all the saints. We're studying that hymn on this All Saints Day, Tuesday, November the 1st, with Dr. Arthur Just. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Just, you had your favorite, This Is Mine, by a long shot. It's kind of that encouragement that one knows that the saints at rest and we who feebly struggle are all one with one Savior, anticipating His appearing. Your thoughts?
Well, it is hard to choose. This, you know, I think one of the greatest lines in this is "steals on the ear the distant triumph song." And, you know, I think that's worth talking about, because I'm not sure that, I mean, I think I know what that means. At least I'd like to think I know what that means. But, I mean, if you look the prelude, you know, "the strife is fierce, the warfare long." Now, it's talking about what it means to live in a world of sin and brokenness and dying and darkness and death, and that we are constantly fighting, that living in faith is a struggle. It is an ongoing battle. But I think the "steals on the ear the distant triumph song" are the songs of heaven that we hear when we gather around the presence of Christ. You know, when we hear our voices, you know, but we know that our voices are being joined to the voices of heaven. And I think this hymn is one of them, frankly. I think this is one of those triumph songs that we are singing now that steals on our ear and gives us a sense that you know, we do have this future that is already now. That's the future is already here in Christ. And this is, you know, when we sing this hymn, we sang it this morning in chapel, and I can't sing this enough. It does make my heart brave. It does make my arm strong when I sing this, because I know that in singing this, I am joining the voices of the saints in heaven. I mean, this is one of the things I teach about the liturgy. This is why I love the ordinaries, because you just know that the Sanctus, the Agnus Dei, the Gloria in Excelsis, the biblical hymns are being sung by the saints in glory, and that we will sing before the Lamb forever and ever and ever. That this is what the blessed communion, the fact that we are all one within His great design. We have one song, one Savior. And, you know, what's beautiful about this verse, maybe this is why you love it, Todd, is that in the fight we have the song, and it's the song that makes us strong, because it's the song about Jesus, the Lamb who was slain and raised again.
Stanza 6 of For All the Saints. "The golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon to faithful soldiers comes their rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise, the blessed. Alleluia, alleluia." Dr. Just, I want you to pick up on this idea of paradise as what we await, what those saints who have gone before us now experience, and yet even more to come in the resurrection.
You know, Todd, as I was listening to that verse and thinking about it, you know, I know that everybody in our listening audience is grieving over someone or has experienced a recent death. I just got back from Messiah Lutheran Church in Danville with my dear friend Peter Ladek, who's just had a number of deaths in his congregation. I'm thinking of, you know, my mother and my father who have passed away. One of my colleagues' wives, Annette Quill, her mom just died. I think this verse is talking, it's the transitional verse. It's talking about those saints now who are very close to seeing, you know, that paradise that they, you know, are going to inherit. And, you know, I think underlying this verse in many ways is that that verse that comes from Luke 23, the words of Jesus to the thief on the cross, one of the few places in the New Testament where paradise, at least in the Gospels, occurs. Today, you will be with me in paradise. To be with Jesus is to be in paradise. That's really what we look to. And here you can see, you know, there are many of the saints who we live with. And it could be one of us, you know, because it could happen suddenly. But I know there are many people out there who are visiting people in the hospital, older folks, whose evening is golden. It's beginning to see that the day is coming to the end for them. And it's soon that these warriors are going to enter that rest. And is there a more beautiful line than this? Sweet is the calm of paradise the blessed. I mean, the sweetness, I mean, that's a word that certainly brings to mind, you know, a delight. And the calm is related to the rest, but the calm is after the war, that lull, that kind of, you know, eye of the hurricane, that calm that comes, you know, when the fight is over. And that when the fight is over, there is this extraordinary inheritance. And that inheritance is a paradise that is even better than the one that was created for Adam and Eve. Because in this paradise, we sit down at table, you know, with the Lamb at a marriage feast that has no end. And there we are surrounded by that blessed communion.
There is a genius here in the way he puts these two verses, these two stanzas, 6 and 7, together. You've got an evening and a morning, and there you are at creation. And he talks about this breaking of a yet more glorious day in stanza 7. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia. What is the hymn writer talking about here, Dr. Just?
Well, this verse and then the final one, we now return to the saints who from their labors rest. And what we're seeing here is the final coming again in glory of Christ, and in which that final glorious day when all the saints will be resurrected in their bodies, and they will rise in triumph. And they will see the King of Glory coming down and passing by their way. This is, you know, in formal theological language, this is the parousia. This is the second coming. This is the judgment, which, as Jesus says in Luke's gospel, when it happens, for those saints who are here now, we are to lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing near. And for the saints who have already died in Christ, this is when they will be, you know, resurrected in their bodies and join us together as part of that blessed communion.
This is important to note because I think many Christians have truncated the hope, partly because we don't preach the resurrection as much as we should, the final resurrection. Their hope is, I just want to die and go to heaven and be have my soul secure in the presence of Christ. But there's more, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And in fact, in many ways, you can almost think of our death as being something in which we are really never separated from our bodies, because Scripture speaks of it as sleep, so we don't even know that's happened. The next thing we know is that this King of Glory passes by our way, that we rise in triumph and we rise in our bodies to see this. So it's like a blink of the eye. You know, it's what I always say, like when you have when you have like an anesthesia for a procedure and you don't even know that it happened. In fact, you argue with the technicians, why aren't you going to do the procedure? Because you were asleep. You didn't even know it happened. And this is such an incredible comfort for people, that people who have died in Christ, the next thing that they really know is this glorious day, and their broken, dead body will be risen and perfect with Christ and all the saints.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He's professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. When we come back, as we study this All Saints Day hymn on All Saints Day, Tuesday, November the 1st, we will hear the final stanza of this hymn and then talk about the final thoughts that Dr. Just has for this. It's hard to fit it all in into 1 hour. Not only is the hymn great, but it really does encompass all of our hope. Stanza 8, when we come back, from earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearl stream in the countless host, singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Alleluia, Alleluia. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the issues, etc. 300, Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri, Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois, Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana, Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas, Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon, St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana, Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho, Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri, Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa, St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
The final stanza of the hymn for all the saints. We're studying this great hymn on this All Saints Day with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary. The recording is from a 2-CD set produced by Concordia Publishing House, titled Hymns for All Saints. It has this hymn, a couple of my favorites, Jerusalem, My Happy Home, Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide, and more. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about Hymns for All Saints, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Just, your final thoughts, your brief thoughts on stanza 8 of For All the Saints.
Well, this is the stanza that in many ways gives you this extraordinary kind of cosmic image. It's a kind of a summarizing verse in many ways. And if you just picture the universality of the final judgment and the coming again in glory, you know, that it is from the widest bounds of the earth to ocean's farthest coast. And this beautiful revelation image of the pearl, you know, gates of pearl that the countless hosts are streaming through. And then here is that distant triumph song. This is the song that we are singing now. This is at the heart of our liturgy now, our hymnody, our lives. And it's because it's the center of the song of heaven. Those countless streams, those countless numbers from earth's widest shores and from ocean's farthest coast are singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is the song of heaven, and that is the song that we sing here too, as heaven and earth are joined together in Christ.
The entire hymn, For All the Saints.
Oh,
Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this hymn for all the saints.
This hymn turns our face now towards the greatest feast of this part of the church year, Christmas. I know that's hard to believe here as we stand in November 1st, but from this moment on, the days are going to get darker, and the church is going to look for the dawning of the light of Christ, and all saints was the time when we began to turn our faces into that darkness and see in the distance, as this hymn said, that light that is still with us. The celebration of the incarnation of Jesus is what makes all saints possible. That Christ has come, that he has suffered, died, risen, and ascended into heaven, and that he continues to be present in his church. And wherever Christ is present, there are all the saints, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing that song, that distant triumph song to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This hymn shows us not only what we will one day be, but what we are already now in Christ.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, and a blessed All Saints to all your listeners.
Folks, if you appreciate hymn studies like this, please help us reach our goal of 200 Reformation Club members by All Saints Sunday, November the 6th. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club is our monthly or annual giving program, and membership benefits include items like t-shirts, books, show transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Find out how to become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. We're looking for 11 new members of the Reformation Club by this Sunday, November the 6th. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on biblical chronology, talking with Dr. Andrew Steinman about the timing, the chronology of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. As usual, thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org.